money and what comes to the body. So we already did, so I'm not going to do any introduction, so I want to go straight to
into. Very reliable committee set up situation. So it means it has a good message. Let's send it through. Sounds to me we are in a request, so let's see what we can do. So as soon as we get it, we have to. And I remember to remember that before the short recess, the Department of Energy was here to do the presentation. That's coming now. We had agreed that to conclude the process in Cooktown, Salta, and Musa to do their presentation so that we can have a complete understanding. So we'll give over to them now. I'm made to understand that it's a particular problem that is common, which we had even the last presentation, supposed to arise in this presentation. We'll have to return at the end of the meeting if I do what we do it, and that is it. Regarding the backlog, the financing of the rehabilitation of the infrastructure. So, because that's our biggest problem as well, the community, that we, having addressed the electricity supply problems, that we could face problems with distribution sooner or later. So after the presentations, we'll return to that issue. I'm told there's a problem, there's a process of the committee which we had to talk about. Later on, perhaps in tandem with what Honorable Kai was saying, we may have to call them back after the report of the NDC to find out if we have a solution. I must just emphasize that from the side of the Portfolio Committee of Energy, our concern really is supply of electricity. Now, if the supply side constraints have been resolved, we don't want to be having problems with transmission or distribution. So we want to look at the entire chain to ensure that there are no blockages there. There will be load shedding in the future or outages in different communities. So that's what we do to us now. So anyway, let's give to over to Kofta. This introduce your team. I know that we've got to leave soon.
Thank you very much, with me here, I have the acting CEO of Greece on my left. On my right, I have the executive manager responsible for Greece Municipal Infrastructure Grant, and he's also acting head for technical support in Greece. My name is Charles Marina, I'm the director general of the Department of Traditional Affairs, but I'm also acting DG of Corporate Governance. We have the NEC member, Mr. Stockley, who introduced the Salga delegation accompanying him. I do not know the energy colleagues, the company enterprise colleagues, if they could just introduce themselves. And I'll be starting with just taking you through in terms of where we are at COPTA level with the IGR arrangement. I'm going to ask Mr. Stockley to introduce.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Diakomisa Charles Stoffel. I'm the NEC member of SALGA responsible for cooperative governance and council of affairs. And I'm going with Lance Joel, who is an acting CEO of SALGA, and Somoabo Kaika, who is responsible for parliamentary issues here, basically here in Cape Town.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I wanted to start by highlighting that as early as February this year, when we had challenges, the ministers, the following ministries that constitute the interministerial task team, the Ministry of COPTA, Energy, Public Enterprise, Finance and the executives of ESCO and SALGA, the structure was established in February. It was to be convened by Minister Van Rooyen of COPTA. I convened the technical committee to prepare for the international committee. I wanted to also indicate that as early as February, after our discussion with ESCOM and the other stakeholders, ESCOM was able to commit in terms of the following five issues, which SALGA will elaborate on. I just want to give the highlight. ESCOM committed on the following: one, a rationalization of municipal tariffs to reduce tariff options from 11 to 3. Secondly, decrease the interest rate charge on overdue balances from prime plus 5% to prime plus 2.5%. Change the payment period of municipal bulk accounts from 15 days to 30 days. Change ESCOM payment allocation policy to allocate payment to capital debt first before allocating payment to interest charge. And lastly, allow municipalities to pay connection charges over 20-year period at relevant interest rate instead of cash upfront. So ESCOM considered that, you know, they would also assist us with the better. However, there are six unresolved issues that Saga will speak to at length. The first one is a constitutional challenge. There was an issue where we wanted to go to court to get a declaratory order to clarify certain issues, because in terms of the constitution, it talks about the municipality being the one that has distributes electricity in municipality. Now, because ESCOM is also in that space, there have been those sort of challenges. And on the 29th of September, this matter was presented at the Presidential Coordinating Council. And the Presidential Council said, no, we cannot resolve it through court. We've got to find a way. And as a result of that, tomorrow I'll be meeting the DG of Public Enterprise, the DG of Energy, and Saga and ESCOM to try and look at other options to be able to deal with these constitutional challenges. The first one is constitutional challenge. And then the second issue is notified maximum demand. And the third one, provision of public and street lighting. The fourth one, role of municipality in renewable energy. The fifth one, the compound interest rate charged by ESCOM and ESCOM's high connection charges to municipalities. Lastly, lack of tariff parity. So at a high level, those are the issues. And tomorrow again, in Pretoria, the different stakeholders will be meeting as well while the DGs are meeting this up to make sure that we find solutions and sustainable solutions going forward. So in a way of opening the remarks, I wanted to just highlight those things. They will be elaborated on in terms of the presentation. I'm going to ask the acting CEO of NISA, if you allow me, Honorable Chair, to take us through the presentation.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning, Chair and the honorable members and my colleagues. I'll go through the presentation, DG, and talk in the main on the MISA's role within the electricity distribution sector and infrastructure establishment. Our presentation outline is as follows, Chair. We'll talk through the MISA's core mandate, the background on the MINADAM. MINADAM is called an approach to distribution asset management. And then we'll talk through the implementation and governance model of the MINADAM, the pilot project and the budget allocation for the implementation of the program, the MISA support to municipalities around electricity distribution and infrastructure refurbishment. Then we'll talk to key challenges and the future plans in terms of the role of MISA. DG did not introduce me, a Chair. He introduced me as the acting CEO. Yes. I realized by the name, yes, DG. My name is Ntandazo Vimba. I'm the acting CEO of MISA from Ngqura Hill Municipality in the Eastern Cape. That's where my home is. Thanks, Chairperson. I felt I must do that, Chair.
I'm looking at this problem, not
the problem. Thank you, Chairperson. Our mandate, Chair, is in two prongs. We have a mandate to support municipalities to conduct effective infrastructure planning, delivery, operations and maintenance in order to achieve sustainable delivery. And we are supporting municipalities with the implementation of infrastructure projects determined by the municipal ICPs, also supporting municipalities with the operation and maintenance of municipal infrastructure. Also, the second mandate, the building capacity of municipalities to undertake effective planning, delivery, operation and maintenance of municipal infrastructure. And then we perform any other function that the executive authority may deem it necessary for MISA to perform. Briefly on the background, chairperson, to the program which I'm sure Department of Energy presented already to the committee, called Mini Adam, focusing on the electricity backlogs. What led to this program, chairperson, in 2011, census, the backlog electrification as per census 2011 indicated that households without electricity, we had about 3.3 million, out of which 1.2 million were informal settlements and 2.1 million informal settlements. 75% of backlogs were in the ESCOM supply area and 25% in municipal supply area. Then the department, in this case the Department of Energy, resolved to respond to the challenges of electricity backlogs through an establishment of what is called today an approach to asset distribution management, ADAM. The graph depicts the backlog as per province. I'm not going to go through the graph. Continuing with the background, Chair, the approach to distribution asset management was initiated in 2012-2013, Chairperson. It was introduced after the disbandment of electricity distribution industry restructuring process, and the aim was to address poor infrastructure maintenance and weak management capacity in electricity distribution. ADAM program was driven by the Department of Energy in collaboration with other role players such as ourselves, MESA, DBSA, SALGA, and National Treasury. Due to limited funding of 320 million, which was made available against the required budget of about 30 billion, a decision was taken to start with a pilot program that we call Mini ADAM today. Available budget for Mini ADAM was allocated to 9 pilot municipalities across the 5 provinces. I will reflect those municipalities in the next slide. The main aim of Mini ADAM was on the following: assisting municipalities with technical identification of municipal critical challenges, development of business plans, engaging with consultants or contractors on work to be done, and monitoring of progress on a continuous basis. A steering committee chair comprising of representatives of NERSA, MISA, Department of Energy, TPSA, National Treasury, and ESCOM was established as an institutional vehicle for Mini ADAM rollout. The steering committee was supported by specialists or consultants or advisors depending on the need. The key role of the steering committee was to oversee the progress of the program and ensure that it is carried out satisfactorily. An amount of 320 million chairperson was allocated from the multi-year price determination 2 for the implementation of Mini ADAM from 2013 Minadan was to be implemented in critical municipalities which were identified to test the Adan model. It was envisaged that funding for later phases would be obtained from part of tariff allowance. Another option, Chair, was to enforce the fencing of tariff allowance allocation for intended purpose and to explore co-funding by municipalities from soft loans. The program was to be implemented in four phases, Chair. The phase one, which was funded at an amount of 120 million, focusing on the pilot phase. Then the phase two, which required plus or minus 22 to 30 billion rand. Phase three was to continue with the implementation of priority projects. Phase four, maintenance of backlogs based on available funding. Chairperson, due to lack of funding, the program could not proceed beyond the pilot phase. These are municipalities, Chairperson, that were identified for phase one, as well as the allocations per municipality. In the same case, we had two municipalities, King Sabata, Dalindya, and Nelson Mandela, with the allocation of 60 million and 35 million, respectively. In Free State, we had four municipalities, Mwate, Mokaka, Nala, Mangaung Metro, with 20 million rand in the three municipalities and 25 million rand in Mangaung Metro. In KwaZulu-Natal, we had Msunduzi with allocation of 100 million rand. In Northern Cape, we had Saltplatje with allocation of 20 million rand. In Northwest, we had Tlokwe with allocation of 20 million rand. I'm not going to get through the progress, Chair, in terms of how this project progressed, but I'll then zoom into the MISA role in relation to the program. Chairperson, MISA, can you go to slide 9? Okay. MISA, through its deployed technical professionals and contracted services, support municipalities and focusing on the following areas. Preparation of business plans to secure funding, pricing and tariff structuring, conducting meter auditing and monitoring of illegal connections, and guiding on smart metering system, development of technical standards. Establishing linkages and partnerships with stakeholders in the sector, e.g. ESCOM and IPPs, mentoring and transferring skills to municipal officials, planning and implementing projects, operation and maintenance policies and procedures, guiding on best practices in electricity distribution. Furthermore, MISA assists municipalities to carry out their functions to improve energy service delivery. This support includes conducting status quo analysis on each municipality to identify key areas of support. There are two sets of municipalities currently being assisted, namely electricity distributors, which will be discussed in the next slide, and non-electricity distributors. Assistance to non-electricity distributors is mainly around the Department of Energy, INEP program, funded projects, planning, implementation, and reporting on the project. MISA supports electricity distributing municipalities to carry out various functions. One, network planning and compliance, focusing there on the master planning, both short-term to long-term network planning, identifying need for upgrades, replacement and repair of infrastructure, and ensuring sustainable electricity capacity in the short to long-term. Two, distribution, which focuses on operation and maintenance of the network. There we are attending to major and minor faults, scheduled and reactive maintenance of the network, network safety and switching of the network. Three, projects. There we focus on the municipalities, projects, INEP, and other grant-funded projects. Assisting municipalities, one, with project identification, planning, and implementation, preparing of terms of reference for the appointment of service providers, cost control, technical assessment, reporting, and ensuring that the success of the project. Also around electronics, focus on the network monitoring, revenue enhancement, metering and billing support to budget and treasure office. Network control room including switching instructions, operation and maintenance of traffic signals, and other low voltage electronic non-IT infrastructure and municipalities. And five, around buildings, street lighting, high mast and buildings, there we assist with checking where required, with checking of the design drawings and site inspections, for example. Yes, that's a breakdown of municipalities that are supported currently by MESA, focusing on the areas that are indicated in the previous slide. In the Eastern Cape, we have five municipalities that we have permitted KSG. We have indicated four, but we have five municipalities in the Eastern Cape, including KSG, which is missed here. And these are the areas of support which are indicated earlier. I'm not going to go through that. In Limpopo, we have five municipalities currently supported by MISA with master planning, operation and maintenance, as well as planning and implementation of projects, as well as mentoring and of municipal officials. And we have appointed what we call young graduates, which were supporting toward professional registration to become electrical engineers, which were deployed in these municipalities and also in KSD. Unfortunately, on Sunday, we were burying one of our young graduates that were deployed in KSD. It is another big setback, which I attended that funeral. We were funding these young graduates, assisting them towards professional registration. Our young graduates passed on due to accident, and we're burying that person on Sunday. So that's one of the setbacks that we face, you know, as we try to address the issue of capacity in the sector. And in Free State, Chairperson was supporting the demand with the master plans. And in Northern Cape, we are supporting Sianuma with project management support in the installation of high mast lighting. And in Gauteng, we are supporting Rand West City with substation construction. Through our training of learners in electricity discipline, our capacity building program, Chairperson, which I've just alluded to now. MISA is involved in the training of learners in electricity trades, in electrical trades, among others, through its technical skills program. There are 220 learners currently placed in various municipalities for workplace training. The municipality that has indicated, as well as in KSD, which you omitted. This number comprises learners receiving training through MISA's three learning programs as depicted below. The apprenticeship program, which is artisan training, where 196 apprentices. A graduate development program, there we have 12 electrical graduates. It's going to be 11 now. Under experiential learnership, we have 22 experiential learners. And the breakdown of learners in the electrical field per province is shown in the next slide. That's a breakdown to say the Eastern Cape, where the total of 33 learners, comprising of the 28 apprentices and 5 young graduates. In Mpumalanga, a total of 38, comprising of 35 apprentices and 3 experiential learners. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have 31, comprised only of apprentices. In Northwest, we have 32, comprised of 39 apprentices and 3 experiential learners. In Gauteng, we have 26, we have 31, comprising of 26 apprentices, 4 experiential learners, and 1 young graduate. In Western Cape, we have 11 comprising of apprentices, 10 apprentices, and one experiential learner. In Limpopo, we have 25 comprising of 19 apprentices, 5 experiential learners, and one young graduate. In Free State, we have 15 comprising of 6 apprentices, 5 experiential learners, and 4 young graduates. In Northern Cape, we have 4 comprising of 2 apprentices, 1 experiential learner, and 1 young graduate. Coming to the key challenge, chairperson, we experience around the sector. One, the issue of under-resourced electricity departments in most municipalities is a real problem, chairperson. A shortage of qualified officials in the electricity departments for MISA to support and do skill transfer. That is, that becomes difficult. We end up having to do the work ourselves because there are no officials to transfer the skills to. And most ailing electricity departments do not even have job and making management in their electricity department. The issue of limited funding to refurbish the aged and collapsing infrastructure. In most municipal networks, the municipal infrastructure there is 60 plus years old, which is a serious challenge for the country. A failure to attract and retain electrical engineers in municipalities and the issue of this competition as well. The demand for support far exceeds the resources in MISA for master plans, development and other support required. The lack of electrical equipment like tools and vehicles in some municipalities, the high electricity losses and building inaccuracies or errors that adversely impact on revenue collection, the inadequate municipal budget for network maintenance and refurbishment. What is our plans, you know, to try and respond to some of the challenges? MISA, we are trying to improve and expand our support to municipalities around energy supply by, one, we created 15 permanent positions of electrical engineers on our new structure. The structure has been approved, and we have advertised already for the filling of these positions. Now, we're in the process of setting up framework contracts to enable municipalities to place orders for standard electrical equipment. That process is underway. And also, we continue the engagement with municipalities to adopt functional organograms and fill the approved and funded positions. And also, we continue to engage with municipalities to address the issue of budgeting and fund availability to the electricity departments. And also, through the deployment of our qualified artisans and young graduates in municipalities to address the issue of capacity challenges. So I think through our approved structure now, where we'll be having qualified electrical engineers, our impact in terms of addressing most of the challenges that municipalities are facing will be more effective. And also through our artisan deployment program, because most municipalities are struggling with maintenance, so we're deploying these artisans to various municipalities to enable these municipalities to maintain and refurbish electrical infrastructure. That's the end chapter of my presentation.
Thanks very much. Go ahead, please.
Thanks very much. I wanted to ask that complete presentation, if you allow, for one of the chairs.
Thank you, sir, once again. My name is Charles, the councillor, and Danta will lead us on the presentation. Just a few remarks. It is indeed, yes, we resolved that out of lack of providing leadership insofar as who is responsible to distribute electricity in municipalities, we have to seek a declaratory order because we have tried everything in our level best for leadership to prevail, so that the interpretation that is enshrined in the Constitution and the Municipal Systems Act is adhered to by everybody. And the second issue is that, to our surprise, is a service provider to determine what cause of action an authority must take instead of entering into what is worldwide recognized as a service level agreement in terms of providing and rendering services in municipalities. So I think Danta will then walk us through in the presentation of SALGA that is prepared, and we hope it has been distributed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and good morning to the Chairperson of the Control Committee on Energy and the members of the committee. Thank you once again for the opportunity to present the SALGA. My name is Danton Gidi. I'm responsible for electricity and energy in SALGA. My presentation will comprise of a lot of issues, but first I'll take you through the background of what has happened and where do we come from and maybe why we are here, and some of the issues that are still persist, or some of the issues that persist in the industry. I was a little bit excited by the presentation from MISA because there are other issues that I'm going to present that, as SALGA, we felt that are really not gaining momentum, but I think we are realizing that maybe because we are not talking to each other. In terms of the micro issue, this is our disclaimer as SALGA as always. Eskom is an important national asset. Its financial liability is of paramount. Thank you, Chairperson, and special recognition to the just to continue, sorry about that, Chairperson, and thank you for that. It's equally important that municipalities are able to provide sustainable and affordable services and to collect revenue so that they can pay as communities and also still be financially viable. And also the constitutional legislative and fiscal framework, they are carefully designed to ensure that local government delivers sustainable services, both in terms of actual provision of the services and financial. But at this point in time, the current situation in the electricity distribution industry is subversive of the existing legal framework, which directly undermines municipalities' ability to fulfill their constitutional mandate in the province of state. And in parallel to all of that, the energy sector is changing at a pace that has never been seen before, and municipalities are finding themselves having to catch up on the change, while still having to deal with some of the legal issues that go as back as in the time of the EDI infrastructure. Some of the current realities, Chairperson and the members, the electricity distribution industry is currently experiencing rapid structural and behavioral changes. There are energy security threats. There are rising electricity prices. In the next few months, municipalities are supposed to actually they are supposed to actually experienced an increase of about 27.5% from ESCOM, while they are having issues of people who can't pay within their jurisdiction, people that are unemployed, people that are stealing electricity. But we hear that we are about to get an increase, especially the municipality, the increase of 27.5%. So, as I alluded to that, Chairperson, increasing unemployment leading to low revenue collection in municipalities, and there are also unavoidable market dynamics. Customers now, they are becoming more smart, they use less energy, and they are even becoming their own suppliers. And the model of municipalities was designed in such a way that they buy energy from ESCOM and sell to consumers. And those consumers that are actually moving out of the grid of the municipality and becoming their own suppliers. Some of the current realities as well, lack of capacity and skills in municipalities for planning, project management and contracting, drafting of policies and bylaws, setting and designing tariffs, revenue management and protection. Mita on his presentation did touch on a few issues where they are supporting municipalities around the world. But as far as we feel that some of the support that is there is not really at the same that it should be at. With about 177 licensed distributors, more than half of them going through tough financial times and going through lack of critical skills, and they can't attract critical skills, especially the engineering skills. So these intertwined dynamics, they have radical implications for local governments, and local governments is compelled to redefine their role in the electricity value chain and adapt to, this, to their funding model and operating model as well. And also we feel as far as the dynamics, also calling for government to review or develop support strategies for municipalities in respect to electricity regulation. That is in accordance with Section 154 of the Constitution, where it states that the national and the provincial departments or government should support municipalities in all aspects so that they actually discharge their developmental mandate in terms of their service authority function. And also, we feel as well that these changes they are calling for review of the local government funding model. We are aware that right now, at this point in time and for years, local government is still, I don't know whether it's appropriate to say it's enjoying less than 10% of the national sales tax, but it's expected to actually discharge the developmental agenda of the country. And with those situations that we have, the model is calling for municipalities to actually be self-sustainable because they have trade incentives. But the current realities are actually not allowing us due to all the issues or challenges that I've already alluded to. And in terms of the background, just to take you back, Chair and the members, in 2010, the Cabinet decided to terminate the electricity distribution industry restructuring and to discontinue the process of creating the original electricity distribution with immediate effect. And there was a lot of progress that was made by the EDI Holdings, which was an institution mandated to actually oversee the program and ensure that it takes place. But the cabinet approved the recommendation that the Department of Energy takes over the program, previously executed under the So there was a recommendation that the DOE review the whole electricity value chain, with the view of developing a holistic approach to the revitalized electricity infrastructure, and also to look at issues of energy security as well as the financial implications. And also there was an administrator that would be appointed to attend the winding down of the EDI. In terms of the background, still talking about the demise of the RED model. So in 2010, the cabinet abandoned the RED model, noting the lack of the support for constitutional amendment, and after 7 years of expenditure on the development or the attempt to restructure the industry, Cabinet decided to close the EDI holdings, and the DOE was asked to review the whole electricity value chain with a view to developing a holistic approach to revitalize the electricity infrastructure and also look at the issue of energy security. And then in 2011, the EDI holdings was transferred to DOE. 2012, formation of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordination Commission, and there EDI included in the strategic investment priorities. As South, I feel that in much as there's a lot of discussion around that, but traction is not being achieved, or traction is really not being seen. And also, immediately in 2012, DOE applied for funds to actually implement or execute the ADAM project. So let's look at the key drivers for EDI infrastructure. And the chairperson, I did that on purpose, because I want us to look at why did government want to have structures. What were the key drivers? Are these things persisting or not? Then it will give us answers, or maybe it will give us some food for thought on where we should be going as the industry or government around the electricity infrastructure. So some of the key drivers were fragmentation and inefficiency, no economies of scale, there are municipalities that are in the outskirts of the country, they don't have the bigger customers who can actually support their scalability. Obviously, inequitable treatment of customers around tariffs, and this is due to two role players within the distribution of electricity regulation space, which is ESCOM and municipalities, but later I'm going to talk about how is that inequitable treatment of customers happening as we speak. So also there's non-rationalized regulatory framework in the EDI industry. We have ESCOM that is enjoying regulatory framework of multi-year price determination, that is enjoying the regulatory clearing accounts where they can recoup some of the money, but the municipalities, they only doing, in terms of actually determining the tariffs of municipalities, NERSA only uses a benchmark, which sometimes has a lot of misfires, but it benchmarks municipalities that are doing well, like Metro, to a municipality that is somewhere in the Northern Cape, that might need a bit more increase in terms of the tariff. But because now they are actually benchmarked with the municipalities that are functional and working, so we could have a lot of misfires around, you know, regulatory framework. So there's a bit of you know, concern around that. Two role players in the same industry, two different regulatory frameworks. But we understand because of the difference in cost structures between the ESCOM and municipalities. But all of us want to move towards having cost at some point, and when if we want to get there, we should all use the same regulatory framework. And also, obviously, non-payment of services is still rising. There's a lot of revenues. Municipalities are actually right now this year, the revenue of municipalities is at a record low than it was 7 years ago. So there's radical changes in the industry. The lack of critical skilled distributors, monopoly model was and is no longer an option. Inadequate investment in refurbishment and maintenance. Before 2010, before the EDI was launched and done, the backlog was about 25 billion, which could be almost doubled at this point in time. So there's lots of experience and skills, and also accelerated education. Chairperson, these were the key drivers of the EDI structure. And if you ask yourself, we winded down EDI structure in 2010, but there is no single point there that can be stuck out. So some of the key questions, obviously, are the issues in the previous slide still relevant? Big yes. After closing down the structural project, do we have an alternative strategy to help maintain infrastructure and strengthening municipal distributors? Yes, no. We did have in the other. But for municipalities, it was a bit of if you can allow me to sort of bit of an anticlimax for the plant. It was a drop in the ocean, it was a very promising drop, and the sculptors were excited about it. Then the 300 million was spent on projects to rehabilitate infrastructure, but it was a drop in the ocean. And then after that, there was no follow-up communication around what's going to happen in this case. That is why I'm saying it's an anti-climate. It was a very promising process. But I'm happy because now I see that from MISA, there is a plan also, the follow-up plan, and from DOE as well, which is about phase two of the Adam. Hopefully, we don't call it mini Adam anymore. But mini Adam will also bring about the concern of anti-climate as well. I think, again, it was most definitely. Municipalities are only just coming by 11 billion, it's escalating. Some of them might not even come here from the situation without any government support. Municipalities that they themselves are old, I think now it's over 117 billion, and most of it is irrecoverable. And more than some of it is a big chunk of it, it's by government institutions. And the most, if not all, municipalities are grossly underserved. The local government theft of infrastructure vandalism is on its record high, costing the economy over about 6 billion rand. I think I've already talked to the point where we say there was a mandate that was given to DOE. Partly there was an implementation of that mandate, but it brought about the feeling of anti-climate. So what is the game plan now? As far as we are not sure. But the problem before we decided as a country to do the IRA structure, they still had it on the beginning of the Chair, I just thought I should beam that slide just to, you know, maybe amplify that we are sitting on the time bomb, especially when we are this picture was taken from Director Auditor General report on municipalities in terms of their financial health risk. If you look at all those provinces, the municipalities that are enjoying the good rating, which is green, it's quite a few, and it's also, you know, concentrated in one or two provinces. But we are sitting in a time zone because there's a lot of municipalities that are of concern, and there's a lot of municipalities that need. So that is why I'm trying to actually, as far as I was trying to amplify that we are actually sitting in a time bomb, and if we don't actually respond or, you know, address the current persistent or stubborn issue, then we could find ourselves with an X in our face. So just to overemphasize around the contributing factors, constitutional authority of municipalities is still undermined. Municipalities are unable to retain employees with critical skills. Municipalities in the outskirts of the country have a dysfunctional LGBT department. And it's due to a lot of factors, a lot of capacity and skills. In South Africa, the experienced engineers want to work in either in Joburg or Western Cape or maybe in KZN. But they don't want to go to Kamakara municipality in Northern Cape. So as government, we need to have a strategy to actually go around. You know, the municipalities in the outskirts, they need the skills as much as the metro in City of Joburg or City of Tshwane need those skills. Then it actually tells us that as government, we need to do things differently, a bit, you know, creatively and positively. Also, government departments or state entities concerned to do support municipalities. To some extent, they do have support strategies, but as far as we, in our strategy for the next 5 years, we're trying to push for the sector departments and government and the state entities content to actually help the support plans and support programs for the strategies for municipalities. And we are not taking it from anywhere, so we're just taking it straight from the Oh, you see, the drop of law and even collection in municipalities, but local government funding model remains unchanged. Unemployment is a ripple effect to the sustainability of things delivery institutions. So you can see, Chair, remember that the municipalities, because they are at that space on the ground where they're supposed to be, you know, serving the people, but there's a lot of micro and macro factors that is actually surrounding them. And all the country or national economic issues and challenges, they are the ones who actually feel the most, because they are not discharged with the mandate to actually save the people. Also, there's an evolving industry. With the introduction of renewable energy, there's a new term called prosumer. So it's a consumer that produces energy to consume, with the intention to actually move out of a municipality or an ESCOM regional network. And the industry has changed drastically, but the model for electricity distribution has not been reviewed. It still remains. After the EDI holding was handed down, we still haven't reviewed the model of electricity. The municipalities are still in the business of buying kilowatt hours and putting a markup and selling kilowatt hours. But it's obvious that that model is not working. For some of the examples of contributing factors to the crypto EDI, one of the main ones is the municipal constitutional power that the DG of COCTA has introduced it to new members of the chair. In terms of the constitutional framework, section 151.3 of the constitution deals with the right of municipalities to govern on their own initiative local government affairs of their communities subject to national and provincial legislation. And in order to protect the autonomy of local government, section 151.4 prescribes the national or provincial government may not compromise or impede the municipality's ability to or the right to exercise power of a form of function. So the next one now is that it's giving us what the constitution says about the municipal power, especially when it comes to electricity regulation. So that would be section 156, which provides the municipalities or provides the for the executive authority of municipalities that it has the right to administer the local government services listed in Part B of Chapter 4, including regulation of electricity. So provision of electricity, it is our understanding that provision of electricity is constitutionally mandated responsibility which cannot be taken away from municipalities by either national or provincial government. Continuing with the constitutional framework, Chapter 8 of the System Act, the Municipal System Act, empowers municipalities to regulate the provision of the municipal services through mechanisms of the service provider. And in terms of that section 76 of the System Act, when a municipality provides services through a service provider, it should be required to enter into a service delivery agreement. And as the System Act renders or declares municipalities as service authorities, and municipalities are wall to wall, so which means that a jurisdiction of a municipality where a municipality is the electricity service authority. Whether they are doing the service or they have actually got another institution to do it, but they must follow through the Municipal System Act where the service delivery agreement needs to be signed. And that is actually not in place at this point in time with the main role player, which is ESCOM. The Electricity Regulation Act defines municipality as a category of a municipality that has an executive authority over the right to regulate electricity. So, even the Electricity Regulation Act, which is an act that is governing the electricity industry, to recognize that executive authority of the municipality. And it deals with the selection and the appointment of external service providers and it enjoins the municipality to comply with Chapter 8 of the System Act. So, for all these years, with the existence of the Electricity Regulation Act, the municipalities are not compliant to that clause of the Electricity Regulation Act. And that is always an audit finding from the Auditor General. Municipalities are actually not implementing what they should be implementing with regards to external service providers. more especially ESCOM. So, because of this now, these are the problems. Obviously, I've dealt with the undermining of the constitutional authorities of municipalities, and in the absence of this contracting or regulatory mechanism within ESCOM and municipalities, the municipalities are unable to gain such as in ESCOM areas, because obviously, the municipalities in their own area, they use electricity for that. They are unable to exercise credit control in ESCOM areas. Obviously, for those customers that owe rates and water, the municipality, if they are sitting within ESCOM, the municipality cannot enforce their credit control mechanism because the powers and functions give them that authority to switch off electricity even if you pay for it, but if you are not paying for the rates. But where ESCOM is concerned, the municipalities cannot do that. And we all know with water, you cannot cut off water. It's a constitutional right. You can only just reduce the pressure, and that is not it has been proven that is not bringing, it's not exerting the right pay to a customer to be able to pay the municipality. So we believe as SALCA, and we've done a legal, we've sought a legal view around that. And the legal view says the license issued by NEFA to ESCOM is defective because it bypasses the legislative purpose of the municipality. Within the Electricity Regulation Act, the ESCOM license is in accordance with the Electricity Regulation Act. But that section of the Electricity Regulation Act that talks to municipalities being the executive authority and by that should actually implement the Section 76 of the Municipal System Act. Everyone, at least everyone, is not compliant to the Electricity Regulation Act. So, without an SDA, ESCOM service unlawfully encroaches upon the constitutional power of the municipality. And because of that, there's a lot of structural issues arising from the presentation. So, Chair, here I just want to make it, emphasize the example. See, this is an area. On my left, on my right, this would be a Kempton. Then on my left, this would be Alexander. It's all under the city of Joburg, but Kempton is provided, actually supplied by ESCOM, and Alexander is supplied by the municipality. So there's a visible line running across the municipality. The constitutional powers are separated. The developmental role of local government is undermined. Some communities are privileges related to others. Municipal revenue collection is also undermined. So if you live on that side, which is Alexander, by example, you pay a surcharge which contributes to basket of non-trading services such as parks, libraries, pavement, all those things that are not payable from a municipality. You pay through a surcharge. Subsidized services for those living on the other side, which is the ESCOM side. Your electricity is used as a credit control mechanism if you don't pay your rates and taxes, but on the other side, you can owe the municipality rates however you want, but you still enjoy the supply of electricity because you maintain your bill with ESCOM. So this is what the example that I was making, and there is a municipality. And now, if you live on this side, you don't pay a surcharge, and thus contributes less to non-trading services. These services are subsidized for you. Your electricity can be cut if you don't pay your rates and taxes, and your electricity tariff will likely to be lower because the fiscal power of municipalities allow municipalities to add that surcharge through the electricity bill. But because now, incentive ESCOM that is supplying, municipalities cannot do it. Loss of revenue for municipalities and the inequity, because this is the way of section, but they might be subsidizing. They might be subsidized by Alexander, and we know the situation of Alexander. So is that really fair when Alexander is supposed to subsidize incentives with parks, libraries, other amenities that are not available for the municipality? It's not fair.
Right.
So this is the situation we're having. Alexander subsidized sentence. This is actually a real example. It's not a hypothetical example. So now, I'm just illustrating, if a municipality has control over electricity, what happens? These are the percentage revenue collection that they have, not just on electricity, on all the services of municipality, the trading services. Even on rates, on water, everything that the municipality collects from consumers. If they are in control of electricity, this is how they normally do. And it's because they can switch off electricity if you're not paying for water or rates. So everyone wants their TV, right? 8 o'clock, everyone wants to watch generation. So if you don't have electricity, you go and pay because you still want to have your life. But this site, a millionaire incentive can actually decide not to pay the municipality but maintain the escrow bill. And this is what the municipalities are facing in some of these escrow supply areas. Revenue management and collection is undermined. And this is what I was emphasizing. Municipalities cannot exercise credit control and the collection is low. So therefore in supply areas, in ESCOM supply areas, municipalities are deprived of their constitutional and legislative powers in terms of electricity and regulation. And customers are also deprived of electricity.
Please go there. This Alex.
Sorry?
Is that Alex?
Yes.
That's Sandra. So we said these figures are real, they're not.
This is now just overall around what's happening, where is municipality they are supplying and where they are supplying. Now those figures are not Alexander Sentence, they are just illustrating the overall picture of the average that you see.
I know why Jay is asking this. Because there are challenges in Alexander around. I think just to move quickly without wasting too much time at the committee, I'm just elaborating that ESCOM charges their tariff or bulk tariff in the ESCOM supply area, and municipalities charge their tariff, retail tariff, which is a retail tariff, in the municipal supply areas, and then it's called lack of tariff parity already. And you know, there is that misconception that ESCOM electricity is cheaper than municipal electricity. And I think today we know why. It's not a reality. It's because there are costs and charges that are in a municipal bill that you don't find in the ESCOM bill. This is just still given that this is a municipality overspread in Western Cape, where they control, on my right, where they control electricity on all municipal services. They get 74% revenue collection. But where ESCOM is collecting under 50% collection. So I think I've already alluded to those systemic and structural challenges due to what is happening currently around, you know, the constitutional power of municipalities. And because of obviously ESCOM's existence in the system of electricity regulation. There are issues around the credit control mechanisms, your interest, and all those kind of things that already some of them have made some concessions, but they don't necessarily resolve all structural and systemic challenges that are within electricity regulation. In terms of ESCOM debt, just in the past 4 or 5 months, municipalities, in the debt to ESCOM has actually escalated for over 2 billion. I think it should be more. These figures are for a month or two ago. So it should be more now, but in the past just 4 or 5 months, 2 billion escalation of the ESCOM debt. And adherence to payment arrangement is still problematic for a number of municipalities.
and even overdue balances, municipalities also struggle to pay their current accounts. And I did allude to all the issues that are actually, you know, overwhelming the municipalities around revenue collection, revenue protection. There's a lot of micro and macro and micro factors that are surrounding municipalities because they are at the coalface of service delivery. If there's unemployment in the country, it's not at national. The unemployment is somewhere in the township. And in the township is the jurisdiction of the municipality. So the municipality is in the coalface of all economic issues of the country. So that those are things that we need to take into cognizance and check. And equitable share from municipalities now, we know, according to DORA and other laws around the equitable share, is not to pay escrow. It has to deal with a lot of issues within a municipality. But lately, equitable share is supposed to pay escrow. But equitable share also is for administrative issues in municipalities, even for salaries in those municipalities that are not making enough revenue from their trade. So what does that mean? The system is continuing to cripple the municipality. And Eskom has reported in our meeting with Eskom that PAJA process always, you know, brings about transfer of payment, renegotiation of payment plans, litigation by municipalities or individual customers, and impact on the economy. So as far as we think, PAJA process, as much as it might bring a bit of action, Eskom has got that little money trickling in, but it's not very sustainable. And also there's a good correlation between the non-paying municipalities and the aging report on local government in financial health data. There's not out of 52 municipalities that owe Eskom. There's not even a single municipality that enjoys a green rating. So that should tell you something of them already. So 20 out of 52 payment arrangements are not being honored at this point in time. I've already talked to the AG issue. And unless this systemic and structural issue, financial plans, if there are no financial plans that are developed, implemented, and monitored, these municipalities will not get out of the situation. And as Salta will say, as much as there might be some of the government issues in the municipality, but if you listen to my presentation, the situation in municipalities at OSCO cannot be isolated to government and administrative. And some of these municipalities, they seriously need fiscalization. And the AG's report confirms the municipalities going concern, which is a problem. And even the AG is not isolating it to bad management or bad government. It also raises some of the structural issues. So there are other issues I've already talked about, the micro sector. I don't want to go through the ESCOM concessions, because already COPTA has covered that. But I think what I want to emphasize on this slide is that even with this concession, it's not resolving all the challenges. Wanted to talk about the NEPA process briefly. We did talk about Section 28 of the Electric Regulation Act. Let's say municipalities must comply to Chapter 8 of the System Act. It recognized the constitutional powers of municipalities, and further grant the minister the power to issue regulations that are supposed to actually outline administrative process to implement Section 28. But so far, those regulations have not been issued. And it's still, you know, because of that confusion or conflict between Eskom and municipalities still continues. So I'm not going to talk through that slide line by line, but what we are raising here. Right now, NERSA is actually updating their geographical information system to review supply areas in municipal and Eskom area. But as Salta, we've received a lot of complaints, a lot of concerns from municipalities that this process, as much as it looks honest, but when a municipality is in a room with NERSA and Eskom around that project, there's a lot of things that are not actually even clear, and some of it is actually ending up with some municipal areas being taken by ESCOM around the United States. So we say as far as this process, it carries risk because it's creating irregular conditions of designation of supply areas in ESCOM municipalities. And it's the same that we have with ESCOM, local government. If NESA, parallel to the IGR process that is happening, if NESA is continuing with this project, it might exacerbate things because there's a lot of disagreements around supply areas between municipalities and ESCOM. Around the ESCOM proposed revenue management initiative, just one insight around that. I think everyone is aware that after the issue of ESCOM, the ESCOM came with a revenue management proposal that seeks to make municipalities own ESCOM to sign an SDA to install smart meters and collect on their municipalities. And we feel as South Africa for some years we have requested ESCOM to enter into SDA municipalities. And among others, to address the municipal credit control challenges ESCOM supply. And we are not agreeing with ESCOM. And we say as South Africa, if a municipality decides to take up on this contract with ESCOM, but it should not be just in isolation, all other factors that are supposed to be resolved by the SDA and just deal with the issue that should be with ESCOM. This is exactly what our position is. We maintain that we do not support the approach where only one challenge is addressed in isolation to others. In my concluding slide, Chairperson, and I apologize for taking long, we felt that we should talk around the issues of the current trends in the sector, the energy supply challenges, increasing electricity prices, as we talked to the ESCOM prices that are upon us, the decreasing technology costs, which means that customers more customers are actually affording to buy some of the technology that is going to make them to consume less for the municipality. And the increase of the consciousness around the benefits of low carbon sources of electricity. And it leads to reduced electricity demand in municipalities. Consumption is reduced. Customers are generating their own electricity from road rooftop solar, sometimes even contemplate on move of the grid. So what does that mean for the business of a municipality? And sustainability, that's one reason. That's all that means. And as a result, sale of electricity in municipalities have shown a consistent downward trend over the past few years. So I think this slide we are just saying, you know, municipalities are with the situation, they are trying to adapt. But there are some of the challenges around, you know, policy, as much as policy is being reviewed to actually allow for adaption to the changes. But it hasn't been, you know, picking up at the speed that we would have liked to check out. Okay, this is just examples of what municipalities have allowed in their areas around, you know, the customers doing, you know, renewable energy or implementing renewable energy in their jurisdiction. Sorry about that slide, the color check, but what we are saying here, I think what we are saying here is, if you look at that animal, I'm not sure what the name of the animal is. Yes. But it's illustrating what a municipality is going through right now. There's a term that is called uberization of the electricity industry. Right now, the electricity industry is going through what Uber and Texas are going through. And the legislation should really, really, really be cognizant of that fact. And that is what we are saying on this slide. Some of the proposals, you know, those legislative changes, dialogue that are needed, and SALGA, I don't know if Deputy Minister, I'm sure you are aware that SALGA is going to have an energy summit around issues of discussing policy shifts that are needed in the industry because of the uberization. Some of the high-level propositions, they are not very watertight. That's why we call them high-level. It's the last slide. One, This is the main issue, clarified issue of municipal constitutional power for all industrial players to prevent further confusion, further ailments, and further hostility between the role players in the electricity distribution. Review the current model of the electricity distribution. After we wind it down to the end, we must look at other productive ways to review the industry if the constitution allows. I'm sure we can have options and can be proactive around that. Review the current funding model of local government, and also some of the grants, they need review or refocusing. Some of the grants, they are not really taking into consideration the current reality. If I can make an example, the island. You know, INEP is a good example that to sometimes if you throw money into the problem, it comes back right into your hands. Because if you throw 10 million rand in a municipality that has one technician and he's even a CEO, and a CFO, he's even a general manager, he's everything in a municipality, and you throw 10 million rand to him and you say, you must connect 100,000 people in your municipality. How practical is that? The reason why I'm saying that I'm making this example is because I want to ask to think around what are the grants that we have now? Are they considering the current situation or the current reality? If not, let's refocus them and review them. I make one example. We then have revenue protection and management in municipalities. Big problem. And a municipality cannot have or get money to actually implement revenue collection and protection projects unless it does so with a tariff. And NERSA, on the other hand, they give you that tariff to implement the project. They say, first, take care of your losses. See now what the problem is. Take care of your losses. You can't grant you the tariff to implement it. You have too many losses. You have 40% losses. Take care of them. Then when you start taking care of them, we can give you a tariff to do revenue protection. But how is that process? Because you're asking for a tariff to address the revenue issue. So it means the regulatory framework is not allowing that. Then let's look at the grant. Can the grants be reviewed to actually allow for that? Can the grants be reviewed to allow for smart meters? What ESCOM is actually offering to municipalities? Can they not do it themselves through the reviewed grants? And that's one question. And some policy reviews and shifts may be needed to enable the industry to adapt. And we emphasize on the sector, you know, support strategies for municipalities in accordance with Section 154 of the Constitution, and we need to explore models of well-capitalized support agencies. We have MISA. MISA is doing very well under the constraints, but it needs to be well-capitalized. There are a lot of models that have been thrown around. One of them is a model that we call a SWAT, special, we call them tactics, but related to electricity. A SWAT team in a country is a team that is a specialized team with skills that is dispatched purely to deal with, you know, the stubborn issue and move out, having capacitated that place or that area with all that is needed. So can we not look at those models, have a SWAT, electricity SWAT stations in all provinces, being a service provider to all municipalities that have problems. These are the things that we can talk about and explore at Chesterfield and Nepal. And also, we need to put in place a robust program aimed at eradicating the maintenance and refurbishing that municipality. Adam should not be a really Adam anymore. Since we are going to the second phase, it shouldn't be a really Adam because it has a risk of actually, you know, being viewed as an anti-climate, just like India. I think with that, Chairperson, my apologies again for taking long.
Thank Okay, thanks. Thank you very much. No, you are on time. The DG says that another meeting is told me that you are going to help me all the court. I only wanted to ask you one question. It's all my question. I want to put a question about this meeting. I'll ask you when I see. No, we are not doing what is doing best in fact in such a child. So we are in such a bad moment. We can take questions. We have listened to NERSA, we have listened to ESCOM, listened to DOE, now we have heard what NISA and COPTA, SAGA has got to say. We'll take questions. I think things are getting clearer in my mind. Honorable Makar, so can you just repeat ours? What we were talking earlier on, I was trying to check with the court about the license. That's the request that we were saying some things about another department and ADA also. So let's repeat that because we'll take questions. I'm now thinking about our next steps. Because it is clear to me that post the October 13th that we're going to have ADA. With all the relevant stakeholders to have a joint discussion to set up around the same question. Honorable Makai, just clarify the issue about the request and the thing that could be a joint meeting. I just wanted to see what
the question was. There was just a significant concern that. We needed a coordinated response to respond to the issues that are being raised today, specifically because the DOE has very limited direct impact on the issues that are being raised, I think particularly eloquently by SELGA. The recommendation, Chair, was that we meet the three portfolio committees together, DPE, DOE, and COPTA, so that all members may take a look at this because there's significant components which lie in local government, significant components which lie in ESCOM. And my colleagues on the two adjacent committees have already written to their chairs for a joint meeting. And apparently the DPE chair was said she would coordinate with you on this specific request. Chair, we will resend the letter to all three chairs specifically requesting a meeting. And potentially, Chair, I think the members of the portfolio committee must attend SELGA's they said they were doing some kind of get together to look at potential new models. I think, Chair, that we must address this quite critically, and I think it's very important that the portfolio committee members attend the January to understand the exact issues. But many of the issues that were raised today are new to us on the DOE chain. I think it's good for coordination, and I think we must support SELGA to kind of make the EDI more sustainable.
Thanks for that. Okay, that's fine. We'll still look at the question. So,
there's time for questions. Yeah, Honourable Mackay.
Chair, I first want to say thank you to SALPA for the presentation. I thought SALPA was a breath of fresh air, that they've actually dared to be critical. Criticism is necessary. And I think that's very, very helpful. I think sometimes we get watered down presentations into Parliament and we all sit in Sinkumbaya and hold hands together. So I'm really grateful for the presentation from SALPA. Chair, it seems to me that at the heart of the problem that we're facing is very much a failure to understand what the interstate energy sector must look like in South Africa. And again, Chair, government's overwhelming protection of Eskom at the heart of the electricity distribution industry in South Africa, and the lack of reform of Eskom, the regulatory environment, and the fact that Eskom cannot seem to effectively manage its costs, Chair, have a knock-on effect across the sector, the economy, municipalities. Because, Chair, Eskom has requested a tariff increase. Municipalities will get a 27.5% increase. So the poorest, as indicated by the poorest individuals in our country will face the highest tariff increases in the country. Makes no sense. It's also a blatant effect. And Chair, to be honest with you, I don't see how, you know, we've just lost another 34,000 jobs in the last quarter. I'm not really sure how South Africans are going to afford, specifically poor South Africans are going to afford another 27.5% increase in electricity. So, Chair, it's not sustainable. I think we must be looking at new models, Chair. For example, why can't municipalities contract directly with other energy providers other than Eskom? So, for example, allow municipalities, I know the City of Cape Town is exploring this with the Minister, maybe the Minister will give us an answer, in terms of allowing some kind of sectional determination which allow Cape Town to purchase cheaper energy or electricity from renewable energy providers, lowering the cost of energy into their areas, which here will have a positive effect on the poor, will support growth, support jobs, support industries. We cannot allow our municipalities to be held ransom by it. We cannot. It's a badly run institution. It's getting worse. It's got 100 billion rand left hold. The rumours of state capture are endless. And Chair, by the time we fix Eskom, our municipalities would have collapsed because they just don't have the necessary funding to survive. So Chair, we must look at innovative models that allow municipalities either to be owners of their own balance sheets of renewable power stations of their own, or they must be able to contract outside of Eskom, Chair. Because if Eskom cannot provide electricity cheaply and effectively, we should not be held ransom by them. Chair, I would be interested if we could get some information on SALPA's proposal or suggestions around regulatory amendments to the EDI and also changes to the funding model for municipalities, Chair. Because those are the two big issues, and although they've suggested that this needs to happen, they haven't given us any idea as a portfolio committee what these alternatives might look like. You know, they're obviously very highly critical of the Department of Energy, which I think is justified, and it has indicated that the department has failed following the end of the reform of the EDI sector in 2010 to make any real changes in the system. And as Salga has pointed out, Chair, we're going through the uberization of the energy sector, where we're losing the highest income generated in terms of electricity. They're leaving the system, they're not going to come back. And Chair, it's not very far off until even very poor households will be able to afford some kind of embedded generation. As the prices continue to fall, those communities will also start signing up for the grid, and then we've got a real problem in that we have Eskom, which will have to pay for taxpayers, not really providing huge amounts of electricity to the country. Chair, I also just want to draw your attention to the slide, which was the picture of South Africa with all the graphs, a need for a new game plan, and looking at the number of municipalities that were in trouble. Chair, I just want to point out that in the Western Cape, that of the 50 municipalities, 23 are in the green, while only 7 are either red or red or yellow. While in the rest of the country, Chair, the Free State, the vast majority of municipalities are in the red. As is the same for the Northern Cape, the Northwest, with the other three provinces kind of balancing up. But Chair, it does speak to a government issue. So while SALGO kind of says it's not just a government issue, part of it is a governance issue, Chair, and we must also, you know, that makes it more difficult for us to coordinate, but that is also an issue. And those provinces, Chair, and those municipalities, they need to be administered in terms of the Municipal Systems Act and held accountable, Chair, for lack of performance. So I think, Chair, it's a big problem we're facing. It's across three different departments. I would like us to see some kind of coordinating mechanism driven by COGTA possibly, Chair. But Chair, again, we do need to look at this relationship that Eskom has now in electricity distribution system. We need to look at ISMO, Chair. Eskom's back to ISMO. We need ISMO. We need to reform the way electricity is distributed in South Africa. And we need to free up municipalities, Chair, in a new funding model where they are allowed to purchase or own their own power generation capacity, Chair, so that it's not a cost source, it's a revenue generating source for municipalities. It's the only way we're going to make it sustainable.
Okay, yes. Salga, just let's be careful of the positive comments from Honorable Makan. He comes from local government. Honorable, is it?
The breaker in the distribution box, if you don't pay the other thing, I saw you from an
And I was told that you're going to be reading at some point.
Yes.
An honorable one.
Thank you,
Chair.
referring to the picture, the father presentation, I have some issues with it. Maybe you say an ESCOM spokesperson to be. But I don't agree on most of the things that the father has been saying regarding ESCOM. And I think in future, maybe if we are going to have these SAGAs and whatnot speaking on issues of ESCOM, we must also have an ESCOM rep who will be able to say that what you are saying is not true, or what you are saying it is true. Because now we are hearing SAGA say this. I think last month we had ESCOM and NERSA, they were saying something different from what we are hearing today. SAGA on page 4, on the slide that says some questions. On the SAGA presentation. The second last one where they're asking whether DOE is mandated, blah, 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 and the answer is no. I would like the department to answer that one. For what happens if you're given a mandate and they are not executing that mandate. The last one is on what is the gameplay now? SAGA is saying you don't know. How can you not know? Please explain how can you not know of your game plan? I mean, if you are all here and you know your mandate and you have challenges, you must be having a way of getting through those challenges. Page 9. Oh, on page 5, the slide, the Auditor General slide. What I was hearing here, I didn't get his name, but the presenter was mostly putting the blame on ESCOM, on municipalities' debt to ESCOM for municipalities not getting the green light. And I don't believe that all these municipalities, just because they owe ESCOM a certain percentage, it is the sole reason that the Auditor General is not happy with it. There are other revenue ways within municipalities. Our municipalities, if you are honest, and SAGA is honest with itself, is that municipalities, most of these municipalities, are not capacitated. The people in the municipalities do not know how to collect the revenue. They don't keep records. Now, you can't tell me just because they are owing ESCOM, that is the main reason of not getting a green bar. That's why I'm sorry, I don't agree with that one. On page 9, the slide from page 9. Yeah, 8. This slide with the red thing crossing Alexander Township and Municipality and ESCOM, Stanton, and all that. Really, Chair, here I think it's just an exaggeration. There's too much exaggeration. I heard you were saying at 8 o'clock we want to watch Generation. Some of us don't watch Generation. We have our own Generation happening every day, so we can't be really. And how is it that Alexander Township, for example, is the one subsidizing Stanton? I don't understand that one. Maybe you can clarify me on that one. And the NERSA application. Really, some of these things are not, I don't know what I should say. I don't know what to ask. And then, yeah, page 11 is also on the slide. On Musa's presentation, there's where they've chosen all these provinces. I want to find out how did they choose these provinces for budget allocation and the support to municipalities on electricity distribution. How did you choose these particular provinces? What was so special about them? that you decided to do, whether it's like a pilot project or whatnot. And the students that were chosen, the learners, training learners for electrical programs that you did, I want to know whether it's, how what was the criteria used to choose these learners? Where did you get them? Was it in Forest Park? Did you go to a specific school, or was it an advertisement, or that sort of thing? Yeah, I think I've done check for now. I mean, cut it.
Yes, Honourable Mabunda, followed by Honourable Parker. No, I want to find out. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks, presenters. Chair, I'm on Sarada, page 15. Page 15, National License Application Process. I just want to read the regulations. Section 28 of the Electricity Regulation Act requires the municipalities to comply with the Chapter 8 of the Systems Act. And now it further says it recognizes the constitutional powers of municipalities as well as the need for service delivery agreement with entities providing a service within their jurisdiction. Now, here comes the problem that says the agreement that ESCOM doesn't want to sign. That service level agreement, which the ESCOM does not want to sign. What is the reason for ESCOM to refuse to sign this agreement? Because it looks like it is a constitutionally mandated. Now, one other thing, Chair, I want to check with MISA with regard to the program which is basically drawn by the COFTA department, which talks to back to basics. I wonder if this program at that level of the municipality and stakeholders to say how much is the program assisting in service delivery, especially looking at the infrastructure development in the municipality and even maintaining the infrastructure. Lastly, Chairperson, I think pointing fingers at each other, I don't think that will assist. But at least the truth has to be told. To say, this is the reality that we are facing. We don't have to sugarcoat things that will not assist. Because I just want to remind colleagues here and officials that only political parties go for elections, not departments, not entities. And we have got our own marketing tool to the people. We call it a manifesto. So if any of the entities or whoever becomes a stumbling block, I think we would have to get clarity on that. But my question is, does SALP invite ESCO in your strategic meeting where you can discuss, try to find each other as to why do you differ? Why are you not talking from the same page of a book that you are provided for? Because you have got one customer. And Muvango is there, you know, tug of war. Somebody's pulling somebody and somebody's pulling somebody. And I want to believe that in those meetings would assist, because you'll be able to clarify your differences. Even before you think of going to court, because I think court should be the last resort after you have exhausted everything. Somehow, Chairperson, we don't have to seek to understand how things operate. Because understanding the constitutional mandate as to whether this department is in compliance with the Constitution. Meanwhile, we do not provide, you know, with the alternative. It's only that we do not understand, because the Constitution does not say that. But what does it say? It does not come. So I think it's one other thing, or one other challenge, which I think when these colleagues may come together and try to discuss about these issues. And also looking at the adaptability of the policy, which maybe have been drawn long time ago and without being reviewed, to say, is this policy still relevant to the situation that we're operating in? Or was it to address the situation then so that we're able to move forward without really pointing fingers at each other? Because that is not part of sensitivity. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair, I sympathize with SALDA. I understand the complex of challenges they are facing, the customers that are off the grid, the loss of revenue, and they are at the coal face of the challenges. We all Chair, I agree with my Honourable Mabunda, that we need not to stay in compartments, in our comfortable zones, and point fingers at each other. These are all our challenges. All of us, we've got one agenda of providing services to our people. So we need to assist each other and understand each other's challenges. I also don't understand, I would like to know, I think we need to come up as ESCOM, as SALDA, as NISA, to understand each other, to meet one another halfway for the sake of our people. We also, as policymakers, to pull up all of us to provide the policy gaps that are there, the constitutional amendment that I know, Chair, you're going to say what you said about Honorable Makaya. I also really sympathize with the challenges of that. Chair, there are many issues, but yes, the challenges are so huge, and there are less solutions to all these problems. We have lack of skills where we fail to attract and retain electric engineers and so on. I'm also interested in the programs by MISA. I see they are trying to empower students, but I don't see the completion of those. I don't see few students are graduating. What is happening? I saw there were five in one of the case there. I think only five students graduated. In others, there's zero graduation. So I need clarity on that. Salga, do you have a solid proposal, clear proposal? You cited the challenges of a fund model that is not assisting the local government. Have you made any proposals about the alternative funding model that can assist us in moving forward, assisting our challenges? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Mine is around the Eskom debt, and I really want to understand. I mean, to me, it does not make sense that the municipalities within a space of 5 months can have the debt of more than 11 billion. Chairperson, we are talking about municipalities who cannot even pay the amount that they are owing. And now if these municipalities are owing more than 11 billion, I just want to understand what is it that is going to make sure that the department, together with SAGA and ESCOM, are sitting down to correct the situation. At the end of the day, it's going to affect the consumers. It's going to affect the people that are voting for us to be in this position. It's going to affect people that have put us here to come and be their voices. So I think this one, Chairperson, needs an urgent intervention. And also I looked at ESCOM's proposed revenue management initiative, that is slide number 17. And it is evident, Chairperson, that ESCOM and SAGA have different view on this matter. And I want to agree with my colleagues to say I think it's high time that ESCOM, NESA, and SAGA should sit under one roof and have a long-term plan or strategy on how to resolve this matter. There was a proposal here that was made by the department in terms of the AGM budget project. And ESCOM, in that meeting, made it very clear that they don't support that budget model. And I want to agree with my colleague to say that when we talk about ESCOM issues, ESCOM has to be in one room. Because now ESCOM is not here. Last time ESCOM was here, SAGA was not here. So I think next time I really want to support the proposal that everybody has to be under one roof, so that when we leave here, at least we leave here with a clear mandate and the decision that has been taken. And also in terms of possible way forward by SAGA, I thought they were going to touch on the issue of working relationship between ESCOM. Perhaps it has been said by differently, but I can't see it. So I think we need to have a strategy from both SAGA and ESCOM on how they are going to improve the relationship, because at the end of the day, people on the ground are going to suffer. There was also a mention of training of learnership and everybody else. I just want to understand how much budget has been put aside for that training. And I also saw that some of those 230 learners have been placed. But I also saw something that there's a problem of retention of engineers by these municipalities. We cannot be sitting with that problem. Because without these engineers, that means it's affecting service delivery. We need a clear strategy. This goes to the department as well, as to what is it, what is the long-term plan to make sure that we retain these engineers. This is one of the scarce skills. And we cannot underestimate how important is that. And as a department, we cannot have a situation whereby we are having a problem of losing those scarce skills to the private sector or to anywhere else. So we need a strategy, Chairperson. And yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. That is all.
Yeah, I have the mic, so we'll start with. Who's speaking for COP?
I will speak supported by my colleague.
So just before that. Can I just add it? Two things. The MISA, 75% of backlogs are in ESCOM supply area. I don't understand that. Can you, what is the percentage of the ESCOM supply area opposed to municipality? The second issue, I know that the DOE did present this, the mini Adam, but nobody, I don't know, there's nothing about results yet, so this pilot. Because it seems not being taken forward, maybe those results are not going to be too helpful now. The most important one for me is, I agree on our members that everybody has got to be here. The difficulty at head was that, was this IMC process. Everyone, remember when Joe was here, they said IMC, everybody said let's wait for IMC. So let's wait. Because even if we call them now, they will tell us 11 different stories because there's no one solution that agreed to. So let's agree for that process to be finalized. The issue that concerns me is the SALGA summit. So SALGA, you want to have a summit that of the sort we have had in the past. You have your own summit and somebody else is going to have their own summit. Can't we have a different approach to this summit? The thing that we're trying to do here, bring DPE, COPTA, DOE together, even if it's a SALGA-led summit, but that everybody will find a way to ensure that you don't have your own summit, you agree and there, but other people do other things elsewhere. Can we find some coordination with regard to this summit? I know that there may be areas of emphasis for municipalities. On the, that it must be unmarked page, slide 9, that Honorable Makai seems to be very happy about what Western Cape performance. It's true, there are things about current performance, but there are legacy issues. What I don't understand is I was looking at Western Cape and Gauteng. There are legal issues here, but I don't understand the difference between Gauteng and Western Cape. And I'm just talking about taxes. So what's the problem? Why are we having that situation that in Gauteng, you have that situation with the municipalities, that the green, only one, and then now it's two, as opposed to Western Cape. I would understand if it was any of the other problems. I don't understand Gauteng. Can you just tell if I was what's going on? The next one has got to do with NERSA. Well, the Deputy Minister, this one may be a matter that is up for debate. That the license issued by NERSA to ESCOM to reticulate electricity is defective. I'll be very surprised if NERSA was to do something like this. I know them to be very meticulous. Maybe this is just an opinion from your lawyers, just your lawyers. It doesn't mean that it's the final opinion. I would be very surprised by that. In fact, that worries me. So this borders all into legality. So I don't see how NERSA would do something like this. I think it would be the last one. Otherwise, I think we already have. Okay, maybe let me just stop there at NERSA. And then get co-opted to start together with Misa and followed by Asanka. We will at the end, as I said, discuss the whole issue of bringing everybody after the 18th of October. Later there, everyone have the joint meeting and try to bring up the entity. Please quiet.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Broadly, with regard to the questions that relate to co-opting, I'm not going to get too specific, but to indicate that the issues raised by the committee, including issues raised by SALGA, around the issue of coordination of efforts, these issues already, there is a structure that has been established by Cabinet, chaired by Minister Van Rooyen, Interministerial Task Team Chair, that mainly deals with all these issues. So the issues raised by SALGA, all of them, are part of the agenda of the Interministerial Task Team. DG, in his opening remarks, Chair, alluded to the areas that already were found each other between ESCOM, SALGA, in relation to the issue around the debt owed by municipalities to ESCOM, in relation to the issues around tariffs. There are already agreements that have been reached. Of course, there are issues that in nature will require legislative relooking, Chairperson. That's like a really, which all parties agree, by the way. All parties agree that there is a need for clarity around the constitutional powers as it relates to distribution. All parties there agree, including Cabinet. However, Cabinet said this cannot be addressed through court. And they referred the issue back to the committee to find an amicable way of finding a solution. But the reality, Chair, I don't see that there will be any solution without tampering with the current legislative framework in relation to ESCOM and what SALGA believes in relation to the interpretation of Section 156. That will require that ultimately there must be a legislative look into the matter. In a way, what I just said is all these issues that have been raised are being addressed, and tomorrow there is a technical task team of the interministerial task team that is sitting, where all the DGs and the executives of ESCOM and NEFSA will be sitting here in Parliament to address these particular issues. Namaste, I agree, Chairperson, with the view that it would have been better that ESCOM was part of this meeting. But to indicate that in the previous MTT meeting, ESCOM was there and these issues were thoroughly addressed. Of course, there are disagreements, you know, from ESCOM. They also have very strong views about the causes of the challenges that are confronting municipalities and their own contribution to those challenges. They've got their own views. And coming to the specific questions, Chairperson, relating to the issue that was raised by Honourable Member around the 320 million and the fact that there's MESA, there's all these role players, which all of them, you know, there's taxpayers' money involved. I must say the 320 million was specifically allocated to projects. It's not like these entities also had to utilize the same 320 million to provide support to projects that were identified to pilot the Minatam. And with regard to the success of that pilot, the results, Chairperson, I think we'll need to have a special presentation that talks about that. But the projects were implemented in different municipalities that I presented in terms of the municipalities that were participating. I myself, I do not necessarily have a report that talked to how successful was Minatam was in relation to those projects. But the biggest challenge which impeded the progress in relation to the rolling out of Minatam, my colleague from SALGA alluded to that, one such challenge was the issue of the funding. And is still a challenge even today. And how did MESA choose, you know, the criteria in terms of budget allocations? These were not MESA criteria in Adam, the structure, but Fund of Energy, by the way, that prioritized working in collaboration with all the stakeholders. But the priority in the main was informed by the Census 2011 results in terms of which areas have got the highest backlogs. And the municipalities that were then identified are those municipalities that had the highest backlogs, like KSD, Ngwate, and all those municipalities, Nelson Mandela Bay, that we have listed. And in terms of MESA, what criteria we're using, you know, in terms of identifying learners, which we deploy to different municipalities. We advertise And over and above that, we place adverts in different municipalities to say we need the following learners and so forth and so forth. And municipalities themselves, they then give us their own people from their different areas that we then consider for placement in different municipalities. And also, the issue raised by Honorable Fagu around the graduates, why only few are graduating. The biggest challenge we are facing, in particular with regard to apprentices, the artisans program, is the issue of trade testing. Employers are not available to assist in terms of trade testing. We have had that challenge where we'll have artisans that will be in a program for more than 3 years, and we keep on extending until we are able to place them for trade testing. But we have managed to enter into agreements with various municipalities and also other private sector entities that are assisting in terms of assisting with placement of prisoners for trade testing. But it is a real challenge, and it's one of the most expensive programs that MISA is running. But the issue of exiting is really a challenge because of the issues to be an artisan before you have gone through the trade testing and all those issues. And with regard to the young graduate program, these are graduates who already have degrees in engineering that MISA assist towards professional registration. Now again, another challenge to be registered as a professional engineer, you must have exposure in a number of areas, like the design exposure and all those issues. And you must have mentors that must then work with these young graduates and hold them up to a level where they can be professionally registered. Now the challenge that we've encountered, not only MISA, is the availability of mentors in the country. It's a serious challenge. And those that are there are very few and very expensive. Now we have gone out, for instance now on tender, to get mentors that will mentor our learners. But the issue of mentoring is a serious setback in terms of ensuring that these learners, they graduate and they qualify to become engineers. So we are hoping that through the process that we've embarked upon, we'll be able to attract the mentors who will then be allocated these individual graduates in different municipalities to mentor and make sure that they assist them to be registered as engineers. But it's a challenge, person, to the extent that some of these young graduates, they exit the program before they are professionally registered because of pressure that they have in terms of employment, for instance. They will be employed in different PMUs and they will exit the program without being registered. And also the issue of exposure in these municipalities is another challenge that we are facing. But we are addressing all these issues, hence, in our slide that talked to our future plans, we have seen that our structure has been approved with 15 qualified professional electrical engineers whom we are going to use as mentors to the young graduates that we deploy in different municipalities. And also to assist municipalities in terms of really dealing with the issue of the organogram of municipalities and making sure that municipalities are supported, you know, to improve their capacity. How much budget have we put aside for training of learners? I don't necessarily have a breakdown, honorable member, of the budget per area. But within MISA program, capacity building, we have about 61 million rand for this current year that we have allocated for training, for the capacity building, which deals with training not only electrical, but also planners, civil engineers, and also the young graduate program. But I don't have a breakdown currently that will talk to electrical areas. But we can make that available. The issue of retention of engineers in municipalities, again, it boils down to the issues that Salga raised around revenue in municipalities. Municipalities, they can't afford these skills. The reason why they can't afford these skills is that the revenue generation capacity in municipalities is shrinking. And it's an area, Chair, that if, as colleagues indicated, we don't come up with drastic measures to arrest the situation, we'll have municipalities that going forward will not be a going concern. And the issues that colleagues have raised are genuine issues around credit control mechanisms. If the issue around ESCOM is not addressed, because indeed it's a very good lever when you have got ESCOM, those municipalities who have got license to distribute electricity, we will see that in terms of collection across other areas of service, they are doing well because they have got a lever where ESCOM, where for whatever reason a consumer is not paying, they can switch off electricity to collect for water, to collect for refuse removal and so forth. That it works. And I wouldn't say we, of course there are systemic issues, municipalities, governance and so forth. We are not downplaying those issues. But it's an area that we should really look at it if going forward we have an interest that these municipalities must continue to be viable and provide quality service to the people and ensure that the very same infrastructure is maintained. But the biggest challenge of lack of revenue, not only around the issue of skills, the issue of infrastructure itself was not being maintained. It can only be maintained through revenue, own revenue by municipalities and so forth. My colleague Tim, I'm sure, will respond to issues of backlogs, but the 75% that Chairperson referred to of backlogs in ESCOM supply area, it's as per Census 2011 report to say the time in 2011, 75% of backlogs was found in ESCOM supply area. But currently I don't have the figure in terms of overall what is the ESCOM supply area, what is the percentage. I'm not sure Tim if you would be able to just talk to that and also other areas that I did not respond to.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think Acting CEO has touched on the 75%. It's an historic figure that was led to the issue of the approach through ADAM. And the reason for that at the time was on the basis that ESCOM was more focusing into the rural areas, and rural areas were the ones that were having higher backlogs, which the figure has changed as we reported now. Of all the basic services as set in terms of the MTSF, electricity, both grid and non-grid, is the service that is doing fairly well. And what we're moving on, although I may not necessarily have the actual figure, is that we're moving towards now starting to look into the reliability much more than just dealing with backlogs. The areas that are still behind are more in KZN, and the Western Cape being the one that is highest. But then we're starting to look into the reliability of service as we move forward in terms of presenting to cabinet.
the effectiveness of B2B in dealing with service delivery as it relates to infrastructure. Again, MISA play a more active role around the infrastructure side of pillar number two. And there are areas that you would say, if we are given an opportunity for us to come and present a B2B program, that has improved, you know, with regard to the contributions that were made through B2B. But of course, the challenges that we raise are challenges that B2B alone will not be able to resolve, because we will need municipalities themselves to be capacitated, to have skilled, you know, technical professionals to be able to run this themselves. And it's an area that we are dealing with through the MISA program called the PMO 27 Project District. We've done an assessment, for instance, in terms of what are the current challenges in terms of backlog, the reliability of infrastructure, and the issue of funding, and also we're coming up with plans to respond to these particular issues. But I will say, Chair, because I'm not necessarily running the B2B myself program, that we are given an opportunity to come and present, you know, in terms of what impact so far the program on B2B has made in addressing the issues that are confronting the sector.
Okay. Salga? No. Okay. I was asking a simple question. I don't know if you have an answer. I understand the 75 to 5, right? That's the one thing. That's the background. So one of the reasons I've now got for the rural area, there may be other things, right? What I was asking is, what is the percentage of this Eskom supply area of the 100 in municipalities? Is it 40%? Because the 75-25 doesn't make sense to me. But rural areas does address parts of the thing. Salga?
Thank you, Chair. I think we answered the 75-25 some of these questions. Thank you very much. Let's go back to a slide where it shows Alexander and Santi. The client is saying to us, unfortunately he's saying this to lawmakers, he's saying your 20 years of democracy and freedom in South Africa, there are still poor areas that are subsidizing the rich areas. That's what he says. Then it says, as much as we may claim that there is a freedom, democracy, participating in the process, what has happened historically, which is the question that maybe we should ask ourselves, since we took power, what have we done with the entities? Have we transformed them to support the developmental program, or we keep them as they were and we tweak it around here and there? What it shows us, the slide, is that a street that we, in an area, Eskom throughout South Africa is not only in Alexandra, where the livelihood is 100% payment rate, Eskom grabbed that. Where the livelihood is lesser than 100% payment rate, it belongs to municipality. Then that municipality is the responsibility to build your street light that you see in the richer area, which we are funding. So I'm talking to customers now, because all of us, we are customers coming here, we are coming from municipalities, we are paying these services. So you pay it. You pay for somebody who Eskom is providing electricity, but is not charging a light on the street. That is a perfect example. You make an example about Alexander. You can go to any area, like for instance, you can take an area, currently Eskom, I think all of us have read it through news or whatever, the dispute between Eskom and Soweto community, and the offer Eskom is giving now. What does that mean into the municipal revenue in the process? So I think it is important that we make that point very clear that unfortunately we are seeing the poor subsidizing the rich even continuously, despite the fact that we may say we are free in the country. On the municipal debt, have we asked the question maybe that says, out of the 11 billion that is referred to, which was 6 billion historically, how much in percentage terms that is as a contribution of the penalties and the interest accrued? Have we asked that? Instead of looking into the global figure called 11 billion or 6 billion, okay. I think we'll understand. Most of us who are coming from local government, you will understand that ESCOM, historically, it has been asking municipalities to pay up to the 15th day of the month, failing which the interest kicks in. At the end of the month, the interest kicks in. Whereas your Municipal Finance Management Act requires a municipality to collect its collection after 30 days. So you see the ESCOM is double benefiting in the process. You fail on the 15th, kicks in the increment, could be whatever increment. You go on the 30th, you can't pay on the 30th, you fail on the 31st, kick in the interest. Have we looked at that? Have we seen that? The second issue is that within the global bombarded figure, 11 billion rand, is that we are saying South Africa is a developmental state. Local government is that platform of developmental state. Are we aware that if municipality, out of 1,000 houses that have applied for houses to be electrified, if you go beyond the 1,000, that's a penalty to municipalities. So I'm saying, Chair, the figure as it is big. I'm happy because we agree. I think, Chair, the honourable member spoke about an MMC in Gauteng that through the service delivery forums will go and say if you're not paying, you switch off the electricity. I will assume that MMC, the area that switching off the electricity is areas that municipalities are servicing. That area. They can't go to an area that is serviced by ESCOM and switch electricity off. It's an area that area is paying the municipality whatever that they're supposed to pay to the municipality. I will agree with the suggestion, Lance, that says on the summit that we spoke about, it's of no value to have a summit excluding other role players and participants. Looking on the alternative energy that we need to look at as we resolve and discuss in the summit. I agree with that. It's a very good thing. And we agree that we will participate in the forum that seeks to address the challenges at hand. It's not our conviction to go to court, but historically, this is not the first time. It's not the matter that you are sent to through the presidential coordinating, and we agree there. There was a task team historically that did not deliver, that was comprised of different role players, Minister of Culture, Public Enterprise, the Energy Ministry, participating, but we have not resolved that matter. And then when you say, fine, if there is no leadership on this matter, the only way, because as far as we are concerned, we believe we are right, the ESCOM is saying is right, which is fine. It is then important then to seek a declaratory order on this matter. So
so that we close the debate, so that tomorrow the municipalities cannot come back and say, we are intruding in our area and the state, because there will be a declaratory order that deals with that matter. However, as we were mindful of our participation and engagement in the presidential coordinating committee, we were mindful of the fact that we must find a solution over this matter. And that is why we then said it is important to allow that process to unfold and continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a reminder, the last talk from Saga. I thought as we got the questions from members that it's important that we sketch the background that confirms that the current impasse between South municipalities and ESCOM is not a 2017 matter. It is a matter that at least has run over the last 3 to 4 years. We can confirm quite confidently that as SALGA, we have had engagements with no less than 3 ESCOM CEOs, at least the last 3. So it is not a matter that started yesterday or the 1st of January, but it started as far back as 2013, 2014. And the reason why we find ourselves today in the highest intergovernmental structure, being the PCC, is the fact that everything else has failed. So the conversation started between ourselves and ESCOM. We elevated the matter to include our Department of Cooperative Governance, who then included the relevant departments, DME, now DOE. It included DPE. It brought in National Treasury, and the conversation brought it. And it is correct, yes, that it has now been elevated, was reported by the DG earlier. The Interministerial Committee was established in February, so 6 months, we're now 8 months down the line. We still don't have a solution. It is the very same structure that has not been able to provide a solution, that is asked upon to provide a solution. And we are really hoping that as that structure convenes on the 13th of October, it will agree on what is the appropriate steps to take to the PCC, which is convening on the 14th of November. So if there are perhaps suggestions that says that we must get together with ESCOM, we have done that. The presentation we have made today has been made to ESCOM, to DOE, to DPE, to Treasury, in a number of places. It is not a new presentation. So what we have said in our presentation today, how we are responding to your answers, your questions today, we are not speaking in the absence of ESCOM without them knowing. They know exactly what our stance is on these matters. And yes, we would have preferred them being here so that they can hear it again for the upteenth time. Our view has not changed based on the mandate from our members. But I want to give you comfort that there have been conversations, there continue to be conversations. We are at the seat to try and resolve the matter, and we are really hoping that we will address this matter in the best interest of all, but more so in the best interest of those that we are to deliver services to. The second point I thought would be important to make is that if one looks at the split of the national pie, and the question is asked, why municipalities or local government holistically only receive 9% of the pie? The answer is that because municipalities have their own revenue streams. And there we are referring to surcharges on water, electricity, refuse removal, sanitation, property rates. So Treasury says, well, we can't give you more because you have access to additional revenue through those surcharges that you charge. So, how does it impact on municipalities when it can't collect on electricity
in areas where they don't provide the service. It means that they are short-changed. It means they are short-funded. What does it mean? Bad example, a good circumstance, to the city of Cape Town. It has budgeted to make revenue from what? Which it is currently not selling at the level it would have budgeted for. Because why? We are using less water. So there's going to be less income from water sales in the city of Cape Town budget. The same would apply to all other areas that have similar water challenges. The same applies to municipalities where residents have decided to go off the grid, meaning they are not buying resident electricity, therefore there is no charge, surcharge that a municipality will benefit from. All of that impacts on the ability of a municipality to collect in terms of the expectations that National Treasury and this government has placed on it to collect outside of the 9% that it receives. So there are broader implications for municipalities based on the challenges we are experiencing today on electricity, but likewise we are seeing that's going to come in the water sector. Now the question was asked, why are we then saying in this example that Alex is subsidizing the sector? The reason why is that I've indicated to you the five services where municipalities charge. But it's not the only services municipalities provide. The parks that we enjoy, those who are fortunate to have parks in the areas, the parks that we enjoy, the library that we enjoy, the street lighting that we enjoy, who pays the bills for that? Well, the simple answer, if you may not know, it is the consumers. Because the very same surcharges that goes towards electricity, water, refuse removal, property rates, are used to subsidize those other services, non-paying services that municipalities deliver. So, Alex pays for its parks, its street lights, it pays for its libraries and other services that municipalities provide from the electricity revenue. Centrum does not do that because a municipality is not collecting electricity surcharges from Centrum residents. It is Eskom and therefore Eskom is benefiting from that. It means the money that the municipality makes on those services, it must likewise provide similar services in areas where it does not have the benefit of a surcharge. And that's what we mean by cross-subsidization. It is general, it happens across all of the municipalities because not all services are charged services and or funded services. And we thought it is important for us to explain that. Give you another example because it's the reality. Go and look at the city of Johannesburg. 40% of its revenue, I'm repeating, 40% of the city of Johannesburg revenue comes from city power. Revenue, meaning through their surcharge, comes from city power. That money is used to cross-subsidize in their budget. Go then look at their budget, cross-subsidize other services that the municipality provides across the city of Johannesburg. So I'm giving you a specific example. I thought the issue, Councillor Stockage had covered around disconnections. The reference we had made is disconnections municipalities can't do in areas where Eskom is providing the electricity service. We also want to agree, Chair, that perhaps at the next opportunity we do have funding proposals. We could share with yourselves our funding proposals. We have made representations to the portfolio committee on finance, so we could share with yourselves, but I think as was suggested earlier, there may be a need for a further conversation. We will certainly avail ourselves to present to you our proposals around the funding model for local government. Also, to answer your question, Chair, the spread of distribution is 40-60, 40 Eskom, 60% municipalities across the country. So the split is 40,
60 in favor of municipalities. And I think Councillor Stockton has agreed. In fact, our intention was with the Electricity or Energy Summit, it is not a local government conversation. And therefore not a, whilst it is called under the banner, it would be called in partnership with key and relevant departments and stakeholders, such that we make it a conversation around the broader implications on local government. Yes, there may be a local government specific conversation, but indeed we are looking at bringing on board other key stakeholders, and therefore we have moved the event because of other competing events of similar nature. We have moved the event towards the 2 days preceding the State of the Nation address in 2018. So those are the responses. I'm not sure if there are any other additions.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Lance. I think just one addition on the issue of the 60-40 split. The 60% is geographic. It covers the geography, not the terawatt hours. The 40% of
not what?
Not the amount of electricity that has been sold. In the ESCOM area, it's more than double of what is on the 60% of municipalities, because ESCOM enjoys the benefit of the bigger and paid customer. I just wanted to clarify that. Okay.
Maybe last decision, Chair.
We will not finish this conversation. We will call you back. So, thanks for that, for your answer. Deputy Minister? No, this is mine.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I think this has been a very interesting beginning of the conversation. And for me, I must admit, Chairperson, and you will not be happy with what I'm going to say. I have been asking for this conversation for 3 years. We have had conversations around everything else. Everything that's texting, the paper, petrol, this and that. But where 95% of our budget goes, we are having this conversation for the first time. And that has always been a concern for me. The second aspect is to say, because we have not been focusing on this key aspect, we also are unfortunately not able to actually bring it to where SALGA operates. I'm late here today because yesterday I was in Lekwatiama, in a place where most people who are sitting here have never been to, sitting with the community around the issues of electricity and the challenges they face. So I think it's very difficult to have a conversation at this very high level when we actually don't understand what happens in the municipality. Who does what, who's responsible for what, and how are we addressing the challenge? That's the first. The second aspect is to also understand our different mandates. The Department of Energy is a policy department, number one, but it has a mandate for electrification, so the funding to ESCOM and to municipalities, the transfers, as I said, that 95%. But we do not have a mandate to maintain. So we need to understand who does what across the value chain. Otherwise, you'll be throwing stones and not getting anywhere. So we need to identify where are the gaps and how do we then address the issues around the gaps. The skills issue is absolutely critical. We are trying to assist so we can, but again, it's not the mandate that we have. And it's not only around electrification. Just even managing the finances of the municipality in a lot of areas, there's no skill. So that one, I think, is not only a municipality challenge, it's across the board. I think we need to begin to actually draw down. Today we are having this meeting here, and everybody is now realizing that this electrification we took as just a matter of connecting wires is actually much, much bigger than we had before. And so I'm very excited about that, because I spend a lot of time in communities, so a lot of the things that are coming here actually tell me who are the people who do spend some time on the ground. And I picked up that there's a lot of people who read about this and actually don't understand a lot of this. We talk about cost-reflective tariffs. I don't know if it was actually set down. I think we all have views. I also have views. Apart from Eskom being here, Chairperson, it would have been very good if NASA was here so that it can break down how it gets to the tariff. I have some issues around some of the things that we deal with, because today, as we sit here, all of us, the economy is not growing for various reasons. But one key factor around the economy not growing is because it's strangled in terms of the energy. That's a fact. We can't run away from it. What are we doing about it? How are we dealing with it? So now we can struggle between us and the Eskom and South and whatnot, but we need to look at the bigger picture and say, if we're going to be struggling, or who can extract the more sense, who will be extracting from a horse that is not able to move? I think we need to begin to look at these things in a very different way. So we need to get into those conversations so that we can really open up the space so that the revenue can grow rather than the expenses growing. Because, yes, we can talk about Alex subsidizing sense, but me and you know we subsidize so little, didn't. And I haven't heard you mention it yet. We know there are beautiful parks now in Soweto, there's also, but the payment in Soweto is almost. So we need to be balanced. Let's not play to the gallery. These are very serious issues about sustainability that we need to discuss. I think I'll ask one of the colleagues to also speak around the issue of just the outcomes of the mini Adam, because I think there's an interest around those issues. I think you also raised the issues around Eskom and the 15 days, and I don't want to get into those, because those issues were addressed in the last meeting and the steps that we've taken in the interministerial meeting that you referred to. So I don't think they need to go into that. How do we pull our energies to make sure that we can actually get the skills that we need? As a Department of Energy, we also have a program for school kids to encourage them to take STEM subjects and then go up the value chain and get scholarships from oil companies. But obviously, I'm not going to say just because there's a scholarship you must come and work here in my area or in my company. What we need is a critical mass and to make this attractive. So if we can begin to talk, maybe instead of doing things in all our corners and pull them together, we might have a better impact and be able to look at more. We need to look at transformation in the industry generally. And it's a pity that McKay is not here, because one of the critical aspects that I'm very critical of is the IPPs have not met their license conditions in terms of transformation. They have not. They are not training our young people, they are not transferring the skills, and these are some of the things that we need to do. So why people think, let's leave Eskom, let's go and contract out. I hope that you go and contract out. You are building South African companies and not foreign entities. I really hope that they are looking at that as well, because otherwise we're just moving from one to the other. A monopoly is a monopoly. It doesn't matter whether it's South African or foreign. It's a behavior in the same. And those are things that I think we need to begin. Maybe a last piece I may make is that this summit, which I think is very important in February, if we could have a conversation so that we have a build-up and make sure that by the time the summit comes, we're coming to something that's a little more conclusive. So that it's not about talk, but rather we have a conversation and processes that lead.
So, the Prime Minister, the last person to speak. Thank you very much. No. I'm a protocol person, so the last person to speak. The protocol. We'll come back to you. I'm sure you're taking that into account. If we can have a discussion as we prepare for the summit, some coordination, because I'm sure by the time of the summit, some of the things will get resolved. So we can go to the summit to conclude and make pronouncements so that instead of going to the summit to start fighting. So thanks very much. I know, Honorable Esteze, I took 2 minutes more than wanted to finish latest at 8:15, because that's the time we allowed me to start this morning. So we'll meet at 2, right here. I'm told there's food somewhere. So you are released. Thanks very much for coming. So the next time we meet, it will be in a bigger meeting with EPE, COFTA, and all the relevant entities so that we can have a more comprehensive. Thanks very much. Thank you.